I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Ireland's Birth Stories, a podcast created for women to share their experiences with pregnancy and birth. My name is Cora Gernan and I've created this space to enable women to share their experiences from start to finish without feeling shy about the detail. I am so delighted to let you know about our new sponsors. Waterful Plastic Free Wipes will be supporting the podcast for the next couple of months. And it's been in the pipeline for a little while, so I'm delighted to finally be able to announce our new supporters. So Waterful Plastic Free Wipes, which I'm sure many of you are, if not using, would have heard of over the past couple of months. They're very new to the market, but just to give you a little bit of information on them, they are plastic-free baby wipes, which contain 99.9% purified water and are both fragrance and alcohol-free. The wipes are made from natural cellulose plant fibres, making them so much softer and kinder to delicate skin. Waterful baby wipes are hypoallergenic, having been extensively tested by dermatologists and are approved by the Skin Healthcare Alliance and Allergy UK, accepted by the International Eczema Association, and are also certified by Cruelty Free International and the Vegan Society. Waterful Baby Free Wipes are 100% plastic free, 100% biodegradable, and also 100% compostable. Breaking down in a matter of weeks, they are the best choice for our planet and your baby's future. Another amazing selling point for the baby wipes is they're so much bigger than other wipes and they're so robust. So they don't just slip away in your hand or disintegrate in your hand, and you don't have to use 5 or 6 of them for a particularly messy job. So available for purchase in Tesco, selected Super Values, and can be bought in bulk on Amazon. Kindful, mindful, and waterful. So Maeve, you're very welcome to the Ireland's Birth Stories podcast. Delighted to have you on.
Oh, thank you so much.
Will we just dive straight in, and if you want to just give us a little introduction to you and your family, and then we'll chat about your first pregnancy.
Yeah, of course. So my name's Maeve and my partner's David, and we've been together 9 or 10 years now. 9 maybe? Losing track. And I have 2 little boys. So Tig and Dunica. So we're very busy.
What age are they?
So they're 2 and 7 months. So there's like there's pretty much just 2 years between the two of them. So
okay,
two March babies.
They'll be pals. They'll be pals when they're older, when they've a little bit of
that's
tolerance
it.
Of one another.
Yeah, they're already wrestling and up to mischief, like, and so.
So let's just dive straight into your first pregnancy.
Brilliant. Well, I found out I was pregnant. It would have been July 2018, I think. And like, it was a bit of a surprise, but we were delighted. Like, it was kind of planned, but kind of not planned at the same time. Like, we'd had the discussion about it. But like, we weren't trying, as people would say, technically. But we were so delighted. The pregnancy itself was great. Like, I didn't have any morning sickness really, or anything, just tiredness.
So how did you find out you were pregnant? Did you have a missed period or did you feel off?
I had a missed period and I probably felt a bit tired, but like, I didn't think anything. And I went out for tea with a few of my friends and I was like, God, I just feel really strange. And I was like, so I texted David when I was out with the girls and said, will you go get a test? And by the time I was home, then he had to test. And then like, we took it, or I took it, not we took it. But and then, yeah, big shock, but we were delighted.
So did you go to your GP to confirm it, or what did you do there?
Yeah, I went to my GP, but like, I went fairly quickly because I wasn't sure what to do. And
yeah,
they just said carry on as normal. So like, I just went about, had a normal summer, headed off to, I used to do summer camp in Barrettstown. And then we went off on holidays to Italy, and everything was normal. I just remember in Italy, it was the smell of cheese anytime we were in a restaurant. And of course, in Italy, there's loads of cheese.
Yeah.
It was just turning my stomach all the time. But no, the pregnancy, like, it was really straightforward. Like, we were so lucky. Everything was fairly, like, went really well.
And when did you, what hospital did you attend?
The Coombe. So I was doing the Domino scheme.
Okay, brilliant.
Which I found really good. Just not having to go into the hospital, you know, all the time.
So actually, this might be a good opportunity if you want to talk us through what the Domino scheme looks like, because a lot of people know of it, but they don't know the details of how it all works.
Yes. Yeah, so what happened was, I think they sent out the booking forms, and it said if you live in a certain catchment area, you might be able to qualify for the Domino scheme. So I think on the forms they were saying, like, they kind of aiming not to have too much intervention. Now, I didn't really know a whole lot about birth or anything at the time, but I said, sure, we try it. And I think it was the air you got home early with it was what was the big thing that for me, that I didn't really want to stay in the hospital too long. So basically it meant that with the Domino scheme, half your appointments are with a midwife, and they have different clinics kind of dotted throughout Dublin, or I think they have some up in Nace as well. And then the other half of your appointments are with the GP. So I was only in the hospital kind of for a 12-week scan, a 20-week scan, and possibly one or two just little appointments otherwise. But everything else was kind of outside of the hospital. So
did you start thinking, or had you discussed it with the hospital, what your preferences were, or had you looked into birth and labour or anything like that?
Like, at that stage, I hadn't really looked into it too much. Like, I was kind of probably
in birth.
No, like, I wish, looking back on it, that I had looked into it more. But at the time, I hadn't really. I was kind of just assumed everything would be straightforward. I was a bit naive kind of to it. Like, I was the first of a lot of my friends to get pregnant and have a baby. So, okay, like, I didn't really know a lot. But then I was fine with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So talk to me then about your pregnancy preparation. So did you attend any antenatal classes, yoga, anything like that?
We did a one-day class in the Coombe. It was like a Saturday. So there was loads of couples that went. And it was good. Like, it was helpful, I suppose. But it didn't really prepare you almost for what was to come. I think they gave you lots of information and that, but there wasn't much else to what to expect after the baby was there. Was looking back on it now. I remember, this is jumping forward, but then in the hospital when after I'd had the baby and they were saying, oh, do you not know this or do you not know this? And no, I had no idea. So like there could have been a lot more information as what I think looking back on it, if you know what I mean.
So then let's talk about your final trimester, how you felt and how you felt, I suppose, in the lead up to labour.
I remember just being tired. I used to come home from work and have a nap would be the first thing I do. And then David would come home from work and we'd have dinner and stuff. And it was looking back on this, God, it was so nice to be able to have those
really
naps.
Nice time.
it was lovely. Other than the tiredness, the pregnancy was great, really. I had a bit of a funny instance. I don't know if I should be sharing this or not, but it might help someone. I think it was I was only 2 or 3 days away from my due date, and I had a pregnancy massage booked. So I was looking forward to that, and then I said, "Oh, sure, maybe when I'm in there, I should get a wax done as well." Oh God, this is an awful story. But so I went in for that and lay up on the table. I was like, God, this is going to prepare me great, for the embarrassment of giving birth. But obviously something had changed during my pregnancy, and she put on the wax and she went to pull it off. But I think my skin was more sensitive or something.
Yeah.
And the wax didn't work, basically. So I was left covered in hot wax, and they couldn't pull it off as such. Oh my God, the embarrassment, the pain.
The pain. Oh my God. What did you do?
So the poor lady, she knew I was 2 days away from my due date, something ridiculous.
No. She's like, she's gotta go into labor here.
And I remember her saying, "You go for your massage now, and we'll get someone to sort it out afterwards." And I remember just being the whole way through the massage, which was lovely, thinking, I can't go back in there. I can't go back in there. So anyway, I didn't. I said, listen, I'll source something myself.
What did you do?
I just cleaned it up and went home and, just said, it'll be fine. The midwives have seen everything before. Yeah, other than that, the third trimester was... It was looking back on it, it was lovely. Just having that time, I think, preparing as well. It was lovely getting the stuff ready in the hospital bag. Packed it and repacked it, I don't know how many times. And I had all the outfits and little Ziploc bags and everything ready to go. So everything was ready, but I don't think I was, if you know what I mean.
So talk to us about then the early signs of labour.
So I think I was 2 days over and I had to go in for an appointment at that point, and they offered me a sweep. So I remember sitting there being like, oh, I don't know either way. And then I was like, okay, well, let's just do it. So I had a sweep and it was fine. I think some people say find it very uncomfortable, but it wasn't too bad. And I remember the doctor said that my plug was gone and she thought the baby would be here really soon. So I went home and lay on the couch and got David to leave loads of treats beside me and was like, I'll call you in a few hours and I'll be in labor and you can come home from work and we'll be ready to go. But nothing happened. So I just remember all my friends were texting me being like, any news today? Any news today? And it was so frustrating because obviously I had no news. If I had news, I would have texted them. So I think by the time I actually had him, he was 10 days over.
Okay.
So it was kind of, so he was due on a Wednesday. And then the following Wednesday, I rang up the Domino midwives and I just said, listen, is there any tips you could have? I'd rather avoid an induction if I could. And the midwife I was talking to was lovely. And she said, some people find acupuncture great.
Yes. Yeah.
So like that, she gave me the number of someone and I rang her up straight away and was like, please, please, can you see me? And she saw me and so that would have been on the Thursday. Yeah. So on the Thursday morning, I would have gone for acupuncture. And then Thursday night when I went to bed, kind of, I woke up in the night and the contractions had started. So the acupuncture set it off. And I remember then, so the contractions started kind of like 2 or 3 in the morning, say, and like they were only like period pains. So there wasn't much to it. But I remember being so excited and nervous that like I couldn't sleep in between. I kept like timing them and not getting any sleep. Like if I could go back and tell myself, maybe go get some sleep. So the night, like I stayed in bed and things were fine, but I didn't sleep much. We got up the next morning and David didn't go into work. So that would have been the Friday. And we just kind of stayed at home for the day. We went for a walk in the, I remember, because we used to live beside Phoenix Park. So we went into Phoenix Park. And I kept having to stop to breathe every so often. I'd say people driving by were looking at me, but I was kind of, I wanted to stay at home as long as possible. And then it would kind of been getting to that night, like in the evening time, they would have ramped up a bit and I thought they were getting really bad. So I got the TENS machine and I started in and out of the shower. And I rang the hospital and said, like, they're maybe 3 or 4 minutes apart. And they said, sure, come in and we'll have a look and we'll see. So we went in and I had to go up to that assessment unit. And I think they said I might have only been 1 or 2 centimetres. And I remember just being distraught at the thought that it was only 1 or 2 centimetres. Yeah, I didn't know what to do. So like they were lovely up there and they said, listen, that you can stay and you can have some Petadine and you'll have to go up to like a labour ward, but that David wouldn't be able to stay. So I didn't want at that point, like I just needed David with me basically. So I said, no, I'm going to go back home for a little while. So we went back home. It was only like a 10 or 15 minute drive, so it was fine. So we went back home. And I think we went to bed, but there was no way I was going to sleep at that point. So David went into bed and I remember just being in the bathroom. I was sitting on the toilet, but with, like the toilet seat closed and the bathroom we had in our apartment, like I had no windows. And I remember just having like the small light on over the mirror and I must have been there like a few hours almost. Just kind of going like, go with all the contractions, kind of like I was just kind of sitting in the dark almost, you know, just kind of with the TENS machine. And then there was a point David woke up and he was like, maybe we need to go back. Like, you sound really bad. So we went back. I'd say it was like 5 or 6 in the morning. I think we were kind of conscious to go before there was any like traffic.
Traffic, yeah.
Because like the last thing I wanted was to be sitting in traffic. So we went back. And I think at that point, like I don't know exactly like how many centimetres I was, but I wasn't, like they weren't rushing me down to the labour ward or anything. I think I was vomiting at that point as well. Like I just wasn't feeling well and they put me on a trace. And I think the baby's heart rate was dipping in between the contractions. So I just remember staying on this trace for a long time. I think I was in that assessment unit. I think I was there about 3 or 4 hours. I think looking back on it now, or I went for the debrief afterwards and they said it was because there was no rooms up in the labour ward. So they just had to keep me in that assessment room. So I remember that was awful because like I was so tired at that point. Like this was, I don't know how many hours like I'd been awake. And I was kind of falling asleep between contractions, and then the contraction would wake me and I'd get a big fight and it would be twice as sore almost because I was like dozing in between.
And you were probably seeing people come and go a lot in the assessment unit as well. The assessment unit, yeah.
You see, that's it. And then I was so aware that there was like other women coming in and I was like trying not to make noise and, you know, things yeah. like that. Like you're kind of aware of people around you.
Isn't that bonkers? Like, because I was the exact same. Mm-hmm. I was so conscious of the noises that I had was making, but you don't have very little control over it.
That's it. And like, yeah, other people aren't listening to you, like looking back on this, but in the moment you're kind of trying. And I was like, I don't want to scare someone coming in by making noise, even though they were probably the exact same like as me. But then I remember it was around 9 o'clock. Like I think obviously the midwives, the next shift started and they had a room for me down in the labour ward. And the midwife came in to get me, and I had remembered her. She was, I had met her at one of my domino appointments previously, because you meet different midwives and they're all on the same team, and then one of them you'll have for your labour. And I remember when I went home to David after that appointment, and I said, God, if I get her, she is just so lovely. And then she walked in and it was her, and I was just so like, it was just a big relief. I was like, yeah, she's gorgeous. And I just remember the long walk down the corridor in the labor ward. So I was in the kind of the domino room. So it's a room with a pool. I think it's right down the end of the corridor. And I was sobbing the whole way down the corridor. And then the midwife was giving me, like, was kind of hugging me, and she was like mammying me, being like, you're okay, just, you're fine, you're fine.
And what was that? Was that fear or what was that?
I think I was just overwhelmed by everything.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, and I was so tired, I think, at this point. I was just really, really tired. And then, you know, just kind of, you don't know what's about to come, but yet you're excited. Yeah. Like, it was just, like just too many emotions at once. But eventually then we got into the room and we kind of set up our stuff. I got like changed into a nightdress. And then the midwife sent David off to get a bite to eat. And I remember then the doctor came in and said, oh, we need to break your waters. And so we were ringing and ringing David to come back. But he was out having his cup of coffee or whatever he was doing, taking his time. And they were like, okay, we can't wait for him any longer. So anyway, so they went ahead, they broke my waters. And I had to stay on the trace. I think like the baby's heart rate was still dropping slightly, but they weren't overly concerned. So it was okay. And then I'm trying to think, you lose track kind of everything that happens, don't you? So I think then our midwife, she went on her break. So David was back then at this point. And I was kind of lying on the bed and I had the peanut ball between my legs. And I was saying, oh my goodness, I feel like I need to push. I think the baby's coming. And he was like, no, no, you're not allowed to push. You're not allowed to push. She's not here. And so this went on for a few minutes. Obviously, she wasn't gone too long because it was only early in the morning. Like she was only gone for a tea or coffee break. So eventually she came back and she was like, yeah, you're ready to go. And I was like, what? Ready to do what?
You had no pain relief?
I think I had tried the gas and air, but I didn't like it. So I hadn't had anything. No, so then when she came back and she was like, yeah, you're ready to push. I think they brought me out to the bathroom first. So I went out to the bathroom. And then when I came back and she said, try the gas and air again. So I tried the gas and air and I loved it then. So I used it, you know, from that point on. So I think I started pushing. It would have been about 11 o'clock. And then he was born at 11:30. So it didn't take too long.
Okay.
I was kind of upright on the bed. So I was holding onto the back of the bed. And then I remember I kept, every time a contraction was coming, I was like hitting David. Like I didn't even say anything for him to boost the TENS machine. So I found the TENS machine amazing. I used it the whole way through.
Okay.
I would have been lost without it. So...
So did he come up then between your legs to your front?
Yeah, so he was passed up between my legs onto my front, and like I can't even describe it. Like it was just amazing. And then of course, like it took me a minute and I was like, oh my God, it's a boy. Like, you know, you don't even look straight away.
Yeah, you don't.
And then just trying to take him in, like taking his features, and he, of course he looks just like his dad, not a bit of me in him. But he cried straight away. And I remember then the midwife kind of said, wait till you see this, look at this. And she kind of put him on my tummy. I was laying down then. And he did that, the crawl up to the breast.
Cool.
Which was just amazing. Like I'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
And he latched on fairly well. I had problems with him latching on then afterwards, kind of in the hospital. But I think that first time he seemed to latch well. And then I think placenta came fairly quickly. I don't have much memory of it coming because like I was just looking at the baby almost. And then when David was doing skin to skin, because I didn't have an epidural or anything, I was able to go have a shower, which was just amazing. Just to feel normal again. And I put on like clean nightdress or pajamas or whatever. And then before they were taking me down to the ward. So,
And how did you feel physically? Did you have any tears or any damage or anything?
I think they said I had a bit of a graze. So like I was really lucky. Brilliant. I remember being in the shower though, and like kind of cleaning myself and looking down and being like, oh my God,
the blood
and then the swelling as well. No one says anything about the swelling. I was like, what has happened? But like that goes away very quickly.
But it is, I like, because when you were saying I had a shower, I was thinking to myself, yeah, I remember the shower. But I remember the shower for the wrong reasons, because I actually, you know, they give you a little sheet thing to put your feet on.
Yeah.
I was like, and where's everything else to mop all this blood up? Do you know?
Mm.
And I remember having to call Sean in, and he was unraveling rolls and rolls of toilet roll to try and mop it all up, because we didn't want anyone else to have to do it. But it was really bad. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and something like when the midwife came in, she came in to, and she was just so kind, and she was like helping me dry. And I was like,
yeah,
no, please. Like I'll do it myself. It's fine. Do you know, being a bit embarrassed, but like they see it every day. So, and like she was just kind of mammying me, and it was like, you know, she was just lovely. So then kind of from there, we just went down to the ward, and David was able to come with us, and he stayed for the day. So because he was born at 11:30 that morning, he was able to stay in the hospital, I think, for pretty much for the whole day.
Right.
I found breastfeeding really difficult. At the start, I kept buzzing for the midwives to kind of come and help me, but like they're so busy in there, and then I kind of find they just almost grab them and put them on, and they weren't really teaching you how to do it. And then it turns out that he had a tongue tie as well, so he wasn't really able to latch on. So then we kind of started a cycle of pumping and then giving him the little bit of colostrum that would come when I pumped, and then topping him up with bottles. And it was a bit of a nightmare now, to be honest, in the hospital.
And was the tongue tie diagnosed in the hospital?
Yeah, so actually the midwife I was with, who, she said it almost straight away, like almost as soon as he born, she said, oh, I think he has a tongue tie. And then, so he was born on Saturday. I could have gone home on the Sunday because I was in the domino scheme, but they encouraged me to stay till the Monday so that I could meet the lactation consultant.
Right.
And then she confirmed that there was a tongue tie. I think like she said, if I were to get it done in the coom, like it would take a few weeks possibly. So we said, no, like we'll sort it out ourselves. So we got it done. I'd say he was about a week old by the time we got it done. And once he had that done, then the breastfeeding was great.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Like he was latching on fine. I think then I kind of had problems. Like I wish I had known more about breastfeeding. Like if I had known at the time, because I was pumping and different things, I ended up with oversupply, which like, I know people say undersupply is hard, but oversupply is awful as well.
So talk to me about that. Cause I know, cause like I had undersupply and I, before I knew what I know now, I would have given anything to have oversupply. So talk to me about that. How was that? How did that feel?
So basically, like, so because I was pumping to get my milk in because he wasn't able to latch, it meant that like I had too much milk all the time. So I always felt engorged. And then when he was feeding, like the letdown would be so quick that he'd be like gulping to try keep up with it. And then he'd end up always kind of like eating too much, or he'd be getting sick because he was like didn't have time to breathe almost in between. So like I'd have to lie back and almost have him on top of me to try slow the letdown basically. Which was like you couldn't do that out and about, like lie down on a park bench and have him lying on top of you. But
did you leak a lot then for a long time, or
I think like eventually things settled down. But I think the oversupply led to, I ended up getting mastitis when he was 5 weeks old and I was back in the hospital for a week with that. I got it really bad, but I think it was all like, I didn't have enough education almost about breastfeeding. Like I didn't know what I should or shouldn't be doing. I just didn't know like what I was doing really, like looking back on it. So it kind of came on me very quickly. Like I felt really unwell and we went into the coom and I think they gave me an antibiotic and we went home. But then that night, like I had to ring them up and was like, my temperature was through the roof and I had to go straight back in. And we were back in for a week. Like I was so, so unwell looking back on it. David, God love him, stayed. We got a private room, like just out of, I don't know, obviously because I was unwell. And so he was able to stay with me because I don't know what I would have done otherwise, for lifting the baby in and out. And because I had lines in both my arms with antibiotics. So lifting the baby in and out to me to feed him and things like that.
That's tough. That's really tough going, especially.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
First time round, and this, yeah, was not something that you expect, especially because we don't educate ourselves as much as we should. So mastitis, probably the symptoms and everything, felt really alien, and you probably felt very unprepared.
Exactly. And then I think I found it hard as well, because like all the midwives and nurses and everyone, they were so lovely in the hospital, but everyone was telling me different things. So some nurses would, or midwives would say, oh, you have to stop pumping. Some would say, no, you have to keep going. Like, there was no set plan almost. So like, and then it was left to me to decide, and I didn't know what to do. So I remember, anyway, we got out of the hospital and I arranged an appointment with a lactation consultant. And she was wonderful. She kind of, because I, at that point, like, I didn't know whether I wanted to stop breastfeeding. Like, I was afraid to stop. But then I was afraid if I continued breastfeeding, I'd end up with mastitis again. Like, I just didn't know what to do. I was in two minds. So I met with her, and she kind of said she'd support me either way. And I just kept breastfeeding then at that point. And then we kept going until he was 18 months, I think. So like, it all worked out in the end. But I remember, like, I just wish I had done kind of a breastfeeding course, or there was more information like that in the antenatal class, because I think, like, they might have shown us positions for breastfeeding, or, you know, like, there was very little information really. But like, overall, like, after the whole mastitis issue, like, other than that, it was like, I really enjoyed breastfeeding. I ended up going to like a little support group as well. And I think there was a few other women there, and I don't think I'd ever even seen people breastfeeding before. So just seeing other women breastfeeding and being able to say, oh, this happened or that happened, was really helpful too. So
yeah, it's so important to have that, even if you wouldn't socialize with them otherwise, it's nice to have that little connection weekly or whatever, for an hour or whatever. It's nice to have that.
Yeah, exactly.
So will we move on to your next pregnancy? When did you decide to start thinking about adding to your family again?
So when Tig was, he was about a year old, I got my period back then. And kind of as soon as I got my period back, I was feeling broody. And we were like, no, we won't. But we, at the time, like, it was very busy. We were building a house. So we were living with my parents. I wasn't back in work because I was at home. I was caring for my mum. So like, it was a bit hectic, but like, we thought, oh, we'll be in the house for Christmas, so maybe if, like, we can start trying soon. So I think maybe a month or two after that, we ended up finding out we were pregnant again. So delighted. I think maybe it was the day after David's day, or the day of his birthday, we found out. So I remember giving Tig the stick and sending him into David to show him.
Good idea.
So like, we were delighted. I think with COVID though, like, that was kind of around the time of all the lockdowns and everything was changing, and like, I was much more nervous, I found, this time. I think, like, with my first pregnancy, I almost didn't know all the things that could go wrong. Whereas then, like, second time around, like, it's, you just know,
completely
you
different.
just yeah. know things, like, you just know more information, and
like, you know what you could lose. I only had this conversation with my friend at the playground over the weekend. I think with each pregnancy, the fear gets more intense. So I think when you have your children, you realize what you could lose, I suppose.
Exactly. And you've everything planned. Like, from the moment we got that positive pregnancy test, we were like, oh, there's going to be this much of an age gap between them, and, like, you know, you've everything planned out. But so what we ended up doing was we booked in for an early scan in one of the private scan places. I think I was nervous to go for my 12-week scan by myself. So we booked in. I was maybe 8 weeks or 10 weeks around that point. I'm not sure exactly. And we went for a private scan and David was able to come. So we saw the baby and everything was fine. And like, I think kind of that point, like there was just a sense of relief to know that everything was okay. And kind of started getting more excited then at that point. And it was kind of then I started thinking about possibly having a home birth. So I think, as I was saying to you previously, I had been listening to all your podcasts and I'd heard about home birth. Like, I'd never heard about it before having Tig. So I heard about it and I thought, oh, I don't know. I don't really think it's for me. But a few different things, like my mum wasn't well, as I was saying at the time. So like, we were very nervous about, like, I didn't want to be going into the hospital and bringing something home to her. And then with my labour with Tig, like, I needed David with me the whole time. So I didn't want to be, like, I was afraid of being alone in the hospital without him. So there was a few different things like that that led up to me thinking about home birth. And then the final thing, so my wonderful midwife I had in the hospital, we actually found out that she had left the coom and she had become a home birth midwife.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I was like, well, maybe if it was her, I could consider doing it because she was just so wonderful. So I ended up bringing her anyway. And she didn't cover my area, but she gave me the number of a few other midwives who did. And I called Anya. So I think you had Anya as well.
Yeah.
So I called Anya and I had a chat with her on the phone and I kind of said, I'm not sure either way, but I'm thinking about it. And she was just so lovely. And she said, listen, I'll come out, we can make an appointment and we can see, and there's no pressure either way, and have loads of questions and we'll just see what you think. So kind of from that point then we thought, we'll have a home birth. I didn't actually tell many people, like my family knew, like, because we were living with them. And that was a big thing as well, actually, because so we were moving into the new house that we were building. But obviously, if we weren't in the new house, we couldn't have the home birth because I wasn't going to have a home birth in my parents' house. God love them. They would have had a heart attack, like, if they thought the baby was coming in their house. So then the pressure was on to get our house ready. So the house was supposed to be ready for Christmas. And the baby was due in March. So we kind of thought, like, there'd be no problem. But then there was a few delays. So we actually, it ended up going right up to the wire. But we got in just in time, thankfully. And then overall, like, the pregnancy, again, was really straightforward. I was really lucky. There was no naps this time, unfortunately.
No, that's a killer. I remember coming home from work and Sean would just find me out cold in my uniform on the bed. And then you just wake up and do your thing, go for a bath, do whatever. But second time around, that's just non-existent.
No, like, once you've a toddler at home, there's just no way. So I think I was more tired than the first time, but I think that's just because, like, you're busier, isn't it? Like, you don't have a chance to kind of look after yourself. I had no major cravings or anything. I just couldn't, actually, on both my pregnancies, I couldn't stand the sight of mashed potatoes. For some reason, anytime I saw mashed potatoes or they were in the house, I didn't feel well. So, mashed potatoes was the only thing that I had to stay away from.
Did you attend Anya's hypnobirthing class?
No. So what happened? We booked in for it, and then with restrictions and different things, I think, like, so the face to face was cancelled, and then she ended up doing an online one. And I think at the time, between building the house, like, we were trying to spend every weekend getting, whether it was floors or windows or different things. Yeah. And having the toddler at home, we didn't end up doing it. I had some of the tracks myself, And I think I listened to some of them and I kind of took things from it that, like, I felt kind of I could relate to, like, kind of just thinking positively about it and, like, that your body is made to do this and, you know, the different sayings, things like that. And I used to always, like, kind of really believe in them. And I think that helped. But I didn't actually end up doing the hypnobirthing course itself.
But I think that's nice what you said, that you just took snippets of what you did know. And I think that's really important to say about hypnobirthing. Like, you don't have to dive straight in and be fully invested in it. You can really just take bits and pieces that you relate to your birth. And I think that's what I like about hypnobirthing.
Yeah.
My husband was actually more invested in it than I was, worked out fine, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So then preparation wise, did you do anything different this time around?
Well, I suppose the preparation this time was more around getting the house ready and getting all the stuff ready to have a home birth. So, like, there wasn't too much to it really. Like, we got a birth pool, and then we had loads of, like, towels and sheets and we different things. And I remember, like, I hadn't told many people I was having a home birth, but I had to tell the builder who was building our house. I had to tell
I have felt so under pressure.
I said, listen, like, we really need to get into the house because this is happening. And he was like, no, would you ever stop? And I was like, no, honestly, like, this is the plan. So in fairness to him, he worked really hard. We moved in. We moved in, like, the house was finished, but we'd no kitchen as such yet. Like, we kind of made a makeshift kitchen ourselves. Like, we'd a microwave and kettle and stuff, and we went up and down. My parents actually just lived next door, so we were able to go up and down for proper meals at their house. So once we had moved in, so it was more the preparation around the house, I think, was the focus, really. Like, it kind of took away from the baby. Like, I remember I was, like, 9 months pregnant and I was building IKEA wardrobes.
Oh my god.
Just trying to
get kind of distracted, I suppose.
You see, that's it. Like, it was like we were just kept busy. There was lots going on. So between the house and the toddler, like, before we knew it, my due date had come. and the baby wasn't there yet, obviously, but, you know, the pregnancy seemed to fly past really quickly. So
what was your setup? Did you have any the word affirmations? Did you have fairy lights? What was the space that you created?
Yeah, so we had, like, I had everything in the house. So we had the birth pool. Now, it wasn't blown up at the time, so we had the birth pool there ready. I had, like, all the affirmations printed out, like, nice and colorful ones that I liked, and we had the salt lamp and everything. Now, there was, like, a couch in the room, like, because we didn't really have much furniture at the time. But I was like, no, this is going to be a lovely space. And everything was kind of ready to go. Like, we had most of the stuff downstairs because we assumed I'd be downstairs with the birth pool and stuff. And it didn't end up working out that way, but, like, because I was upstairs in the end. But we had everything there ready to go.
Tell me about early labour and how things panned out.
So I'm just trying to think. So just before I went into labour, kind of a few weeks before, actually, there was worries about the baby was breech at the time. So I had to do all the spinning babies and things like that. And I had one or two appointments in the comb in between, like, my due date and kind of, like, towards the end of the pregnancy. So I remember being worried that the home birth wouldn't go ahead. I went to a chiropractor to try and help turn the baby. And I think he turned, but his head wasn't engaged for a long time. So in the comb, they were really worried about it. But Anya said, listen, it's the second baby. You need to be too worried about it. So then it was coming up to my due date, and we were in the house. Were we in the house? Yeah, we were just in the house. And I was at that point, I was anxious for the baby to come because my mum wasn't doing too well, and they were waiting for a bed for her in the hospice. So I really wanted the baby to come before she went And I was like, we hadn't really planned it, but I was hoping that she would be able to maybe come down to the birth. Like, I don't think, like, we hadn't a plan, but I kind of had in my head that maybe she'd come, because, like, with her only being next door. So as it worked out, so I went for acupuncture. Actually, that's what happened. So I went for acupuncture thinking this is going to work again. And I went on the Monday, and I remember, like, I felt really relaxed after it, but, and I went to bed that night thinking, yes, it's definitely going to happen, like last time. But I woke up on Tuesday morning and nothing had happened. So I was really upset then. And it was on the Tuesday that my mum, they got a bed for her in the hospice. So she actually, so she went in. And I was really upset then. So I spent the day just really upset, basically, thinking, you know, like, we've planned this home birth and, you know, she wasn't going to be around, like, to be there for it and different things. But anyway, so I kind of took Tuesday as a day to be upset. And on Wednesday, I said, right, so I have to get on with things now. So Wednesday was just a normal day. And on Thursday, I woke up and I had a little bit of cramping. Now, nothing major at all. And I had booked in to go to acupuncture again. So I went in to her, and she could tell I was a bit upset, and she kind of helped me to relax, and I kind of felt a bit of release when I was in with her. And then throughout the day, that day, gradually the contractions started to build up. Like that with having the toddler, like, I wasn't paying much heed to them. I think I rang Anya at one point and said, listen, I'm having little pains, but there's nothing major happening. We've loads of time. Like, you know, it's especially after my first birth with Tig being so long, I just assumed, like, we've another day or two to go before anything actually happens. So that day, like, was just a normal day. I was pottering around with Tig and like, doing silly things, like, we had to do the online food shop, so I was doing that. getting dinners ready. And then kind of then when David finished work, he was like, you don't seem great. And I was like, no, I'm not feeling the best. At that point, I was kind of starting to go into myself a little bit. Like, I was kind of feeling like I had to concentrate every time I got a little contraction. So I suppose then, like, as the evening went on, so they would have started that morning, and then we went and put Tig to bed. So Tig goes to bed at about 8, I think it was probably 8:30 that night. I remember cuddling him in bed thinking, oh, is this going to be our last cuddles? Really, like, cuddling him. And I think I got a bit upset almost just before I put him to bed. So we put him to bed, and I think David read him his story and stuff, and then he came back to the bedroom and I was like, we need to ring Anya. Something has changed. We need to ring her. So we rang Anya. So it would have been about 8:30. And I said, like, Anya, like, maybe you need to start coming soon. Like, I think things might have started to change a little bit. And she was like, oh, well, maybe hop into the shower, have a shower and see how they are after that. Like, because I wasn't, like, breathing, like, you know, there was no signs, like, I wasn't in distress or anything. So I was like, yeah, perfect, we'll hop into the shower. Like, a typical Irish thing, like, I was really worried, I didn't want to bring her out too soon.
That's always the worry, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that was just, I had in my head. So it's about a 40-minute drive from where she is to me, maybe half an hour, 40 minutes. So I just had in my head, I didn't want to bring her all the way out and then for her to have to go home. So I was like, yeah, listen, I'll hop into the shower, and we'll give you a ring back after. So when I was in the shower, I don't know what happened. I think with Tig being safe and in bed and me being in the shower, something just changed all of a sudden. And, like, I don't think I almost wasn't getting a break between the contractions. And I remember being like, David, you need to ring Anya. But then at the same time, I was saying, David, you can't leave me. So I was in the shower for a few minutes. I wasn't even in there that long. And I got out of the shower and I sat onto the edge of the bed just to dry myself and that. And then all of a sudden my waters went. So then I was like, oh, wow, we need to bring Anya. So we rang Anya and it was only like maybe about 9 o'clock at this point. And she said, Maeve, I'm actually on the way. I decided to get in the car. I'm on the way. Mm-hmm. So I said, that's grand. I said, my waters were broke. Everything's fine. Like the water clear. Right? Like I knew kind of this time, like things to look out for almost, you know, I kind of educated myself more. So I said, the waters are clear. I'm fine. I've the TENS machine on. Like, we'll see you soon. And then I think she heard like the noises I was making almost. And I think she said to David, David, you might need to ring an ambulance as well.
Oh my goodness, my stomach just split. I got goosebumps.
So at that point I was like, yeah, I think the baby might be coming. So I went into the bathroom then actually, and I said, no, it's not the baby coming. I just need to go to the toilet. So I went to the toilet and I was like, David, I just need to go to the toilet. Like trying to get him to reassure me. Like there's no baby coming. And he was like, yeah, yeah, you just need to go to the toilet. Don't worry. Anya's coming. She'll be here soon. And then I was like, nope, I feel the baby. The baby's coming.
Oh my God.
So I could feel the baby's head coming. So Anya was on one phone and then the ambulance was on the other phone. So they were both on speaker. And I just kind of remember focusing in on Anya's voice because what do you call them? Like the emergency operator, is that what you'd call them? The person on the phone.
Yeah.
So they're kind of following a script. So they were saying, and what's her date of birth? And you know, things like this. And I was like, there's no time for dates of birth. The baby's coming.
And this is a familiar feeling for you as well, because you didn't have an epidural with your first experience. You knew when baby was coming. You knew that feeling.
Yeah. And at that point, like I could feel the baby's head like starting.
With your hand.
Yeah, exactly. Like starting to come.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So Anya was like, maybe you, like, I can't remember exactly what she was saying, but she was like, maybe I'm coming. I'll get there. I'll be there. So I got down on my hands and knees, just in the bathroom, like, and then I was like, Anya, I think I didn't know it was a he. I think the baby's really coming, Anya. It's coming. And she was like, Maeve, don't worry. You're fine. You're fine. And I just remember her saying, you're fine. You're fine. And then I was like, the baby's here. And the baby was just there. Like,
oh my God.
Out of nowhere. Poor David. I think had a heart attack, I'd imagine. Like he, in the meantime, when this had been going on, he had been grabbing towels and a few different things. So we had towels under me. And I think he kind of caught the baby coming out and pushed the baby up to my chest. So we kind
of, wow,
we caught him.
Great him. Yeah.
So, Anya was like, she wasn't there yet. The ambulance weren't there yet. They were on their way also. So I think like, I was just in shock. Couldn't believe it. Like this. So we put Tyke to bed at 8:30 and this was 9:30. He was born. Like there was no time in between. And I know people say, oh, the second birth can be much quicker, but never in a million years did I think, do you know, it would be that quick.
And you're so right in saying that, because I've heard from other stories that when the toddler is looked after, even with my own experience, once Oliver left, it was when I saw Oliver that things slowed down, because I knew I had a job to do to get Oliver out of the house. And then once he was gone, that's when things really started ramping up. Yeah, it's 100% down to that.
And it's just amazing that, like, when you think back on it, like that nature thing, like it, there was just no stopping it. And I'm just so thankful then, thinking back now, like if I hadn't had planned a home birth, like we would have probably put Tide to bed. I would have got my dad to come down to mind him in the house, and we would have just been going in the car. So it'd have been one of those stories of baby being born on the M50 or something. So so it was wonderful. So anyway, so we scooped him up onto my chest, and I don't think he cried straight away, but I remember saying, he's fine. Like, I knew he was, well, I didn't know it was a he actually for a while. I didn't even look, but I just knew he was okay. And then eventually he did cry. And I think maybe 10 or 15 minutes later, I was still just sitting there, like just in shock about the whole thing. And then Anya arrived in. I think her car was still probably running. The door was open. Like, she didn't have time for anything. But she ran in. And I think, so there's different medications that you have in the fridge for the home birth, just in case. So she had had David get them ready just to have them just in case. So they were there beside me. But I think she gave me the injection for the placenta to come just because she wasn't there to see the birth, and she just to be safe. And I didn't mind, like, that was perfect with me. So she cut the cord. And, oh, actually, the funny story before that. So when the baby was born straight, or before the baby was born, even when I said the baby was coming, the emergency operator on the phone kept telling me, you need to lie on your back. And I kept saying, no, I'm not lying on my back. I don't, like, you know, I didn't want to be on my back. And then the same thing happened as soon as the baby was born. They were telling Dave to go find a shoelace. And I was like, no, we're not tying it with a shoelace. Like, Anya's on her way, it's fine. And he kept going on about shoelace, so I remember whispering really loud so that he probably heard, just pretend we've done it. Just pretend we've tied it with a shoelace, the cord. But we didn't do that. And anyway, so Anya turned up then, and she kind of just took care of everything. She whizzed into the room and just sorted out everything. And I think then about maybe 5 or 10 minutes after, then the ambulance arrived. So these two big men, I remember with their mucky boots in my new house, came in and trundled up the stairs and were like, oh, the baby's here. I was like, yeah, the baby's here. And they were like, do you need any help? So Anya asked them to stay until the second midwife came. So they went downstairs. I think they had a cup of tea, maybe, and a few biscuits or something, but I didn't see any more of the two ambulance men. And then I think, like, we got into the bed. And I think, so Anya had given me the injection and then the placenta came. I was really lucky again. I had no, like, tears or anything. I might have had another graze, possibly. So, of course, David thinks he's Ireland's number one midwife now as a result.
And how did you feel? I'm sure it took you a long time to come down off that shock.
I think I was just like on this cloud, like up on cloud nine, as they say, like just in absolute awe. And I think, like yes, like I was, like, I loved Tige as soon as he was born, but when I saw this baby and the way he, like, he'd been born in our new house, and for it just to be me and David there, like, it was so special. Obviously it wasn't planned that way, but it turned out, like, it was really special. And then I remember, so the second midwife, Angela, came, and I think they might have gone downstairs, Angela and Anya, once we were set up. So we were in the bed, and then we were just, like, calling the grandparents to tell them the news, and they were like, what? Like, how? Like, how's the baby here already? So it was just, like, a really lovely moment. And to be at home and in your own bed was just, like, you couldn't beat it.
And did he latch on as well? Okay.
Yeah, straight away. And I think this time, like, I kind of knew what to do. Like, I had no idea the first time. He had a tongue tie again. So we kind of knew to look out for that straight away. So even though he was feeding well, even though he had a tongue tie, it was just hurting me, basically. So we got his tongue tie cut when he was a few days old. And we haven't looked back with breastfeeding since. Like, he loves eating. He'd be on the boob all day if you let him, almost, even still. And then, trying to think, with the home birth, oh, it was lovely then the next morning. So one's Angela and Anya. And I remember them being so good. Like, I was only saying to David yesterday, we were kind of going through this just to try remember everything. But like, I think Angela helped change the bedclothes on our bed so that I was getting into fresh sheets. And just like, it was just, they were too good, like, to us. And we hopped into the bed, and then the next morning, like, somehow, I don't know how, Tig slept through all of this. Like, he didn't hear a thing. And the next morning he woke up and he pottered down to the bedroom, and then there was a baby there. Like, you know, it was just lovely for him as well, in that way. Like, and I didn't have to be apart from him. And I think especially with COVID and things, you know, there was no worry then, like, for being in the hospital and being away from him. So it was really, really nice. Yeah.
And how did you find breastfeeding with a toddler around?
Oh, lots of fun. So that first 2 weeks, so obviously David had 2 weeks off work. So like, I stayed in the bed pretty much those whole 2 weeks. Like, we went for little walks. Like, I really tried to establish breastfeeding properly. I tried to rest myself because I knew once David was back in work, then I had a toddler, basically. I had him to look after too. So yeah. I knew I had to kind of get myself right. So for those 2 weeks, like, and it was lovely for David as well, actually. He got to spend loads of one-on-one time with Tig. And then so once the 2 weeks were up, looking back on it, I don't know what. I was like throwing toys at him, be like, look, play with this. And then I'd be trying to feed the baby, or you're trying to, like, the poor second child, like, it's the typical second child. You're feeding them when you're walking around. You're feeding them when you're chasing the toddler out the back door. Like, the second child has to get on with it almost, whereas I would always be relaxed, almost watching telly when I was feeding Ty. Yeah, it was different.
Oh, my God. You'd spend, like, hours in front of Netflix. It was great.
Yeah, exactly. But we were really lucky. Like, he really loved his little brother right from the start. So he'd almost be trying to get up on my lap and stroke his head as I was trying to feed him. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to hold two of them and trying to make him be gentle. I don't know how many times I said the word gentle in the first few weeks. But yeah, no, he took to him really well. So we were really lucky in that regard.
Great. Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for all this, like, you're doing with all these stories.
I love it.
I think it's such a lovely platform for people, and to be able to hear about different kinds of births.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.